Well, let's begin with prayer this morning. Thank you, Father in heaven, that for most of us here, you began a good work in us. You began that good work the moment we trusted Christ as Savior. But Lord, thank you that you have promised to complete the good work you started. And help us to see in our passage this morning several lives that you completed the good work you started. And help us be encouraged by them and help us learn from them. And Lord, if there's one who has not yet allowed you to begin the good work in them, they are yet without Christ, I pray you draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the beauties of the Old Testament is that it kind of puts skin and bone on abstract New Testament concepts. And we can see these New Testament concepts kind of fleshed out in the lives of different Old Testament characters that we read about. Now, an amazing promise given to us, one to which I alluded in my prayer, is the promise of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this, the apostle wrote, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This promise declares that when God starts a good work, he guarantees he will finish it. In the several chapters that are before us this morning, we see how God began a good work in the lives of different individuals. For example, he began a good work in the lives of Joseph's brothers, primarily Judah, that we will see, and he brought it to completion. He began a good work in the life of Joseph, and he brought it to completion. And finally, he began a good work in Jacob, Joseph's father, and he brought it to completion. The same God, friends, who began a good work in these Bible characters, if you're saved, has begun a good work in you. And just like he brought that good work to completion in them, he will bring that good work to completion in you. Amen, preacher. I like that. You were thinking about it? Well, just don't think about it. Give me some feedback. Help me out here. Give me a word. You know, too often, sadly, many Christians look at salvation as, that's it. Got my ticket punched for heaven. Got my fire insurance. I'm good to go. Well, folks, that is not what salvation primarily is about. Oh, there's an element of that involved. But I think there's a reason Jesus referred to salvation when he was talking to Nicodemus as being born again. You see, folks, when a baby is born, yeah, that's the end of one process, but that is just the beginning of a whole nother process. And that's the same way it is in the Christian life. We are born again. Okay, that ends one process of learning about Jesus, being convicted of our sin, trusting in Jesus. Okay, there's the end of that. But that end then is the beginning of a whole nother process. Well, it's that whole nother process we're talking about this morning. The one who began a good work in you, salvation, will bring it to completion. God finishes what he starts, folks. And notice in the lives of these three characters, Judah, Joseph, and Jacob. I love it. I don't even have to force the alliteration in this passage. It's already alliterated for us in the Bible. That God began and finished the good work in them. Notice, first of all, completing the good work in Judah. Now, we're in Genesis, and we'll be in Genesis chapter 43, 44, 45, and 46. Did you bring your lunch pail with you? No, we're just going to primarily tell the story. But when we come to Genesis 43, up to this point, Judah has not been such a good guy. In fact, he's been an out-and-out scoundrel. In Genesis chapter 37, verses 26 and 27, he was the one who recommended they sell Joseph into slavery. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come on, let's make some money off the boy. Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Those were the words of Judah. And to make matters worse, if you go to the very next chapter, Genesis chapter 38. Now, we did not speak about that chapter because that chapter revolves around Judah. And what it tells us about Judah is that he was a lustful, immoral man who unwittingly committed incest with his daughter-in-law, thinking her to be a prostitute. Wow. Judah, the leader of the tribe from which the Lord Jesus sprang, right? Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, boy, Judah, he was a mess. He was a hot mess. But God wasn't finished with him yet. In Genesis chapter 43, it begins with the fact of Jacob calling his sons together and saying, "Okay, boys, we're out of food again. Go back down to Egypt and get us some more food." And Judah says, "Wait a minute, Dad. The man who sold us the food to begin with told us the next time we come, we had better bring our younger brother. Because if we don't, then he'll know we are spies," which is what he accused us of to begin with. And Jacob pushed against that suggestion. And notice in verses 8 through 10 of Genesis 43, how Judah pledged to his father Jacob concerning his brother Benjamin. And Judah said to Israel his father, "Send the boy with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our little ones. I will be a pledge of his safety. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. If we had not delayed, we would now have returned twice." Kind of makes you wonder what Simeon's thinking back in Egypt. Remember, he kept one of the brothers, Simeon, and bound him in front of the other 10. And so here's Simeon been sitting all of this time in, I think, I imagine, an Egyptian prison. No doubt he's thinking, when are they going to come back and get me? What about me? I really think if Joseph had not put that stipulation about bringing Benjamin back, Simeon would have lived and died in Egypt. You know, he was kind of the other brother. You know, Joseph, well, as far as Jacob was concerned, was dead and gone. Then Benjamin, and then, you know, the other guys just kind of fell in down there. Well, obviously, Simeon was the low man on the totem pole. All Jacob cared about was Joseph, then Benjamin. But when we come to Genesis chapter 42 and 43, we see a different man. You see, Judah, along with the other 9 brothers, had experienced the tests that Joseph placed upon them in chapter 42. First of all, they experienced the test of hunger. Remember, God was trying to get their attention with the famine. Then they experienced the test of brokenness when Joseph was disciplining them, unknown to them. But they were going through the discipline process to prove their character. And then finally they experienced the taste of grace. Remember? When not only did Joseph fill their sacks full of grain, but he also put their money in the sacks of grain and sent them off back to Canaan. Oh, let me ask you a question. Did you give someone this morning a taste of grace? Did you extend your hand in a warm welcome and give them words of welcome to our services? Did you? Or did you just do the church nod? Remember last week? Folks, again, you never know what hurting, as Pastor Rob just said, you never know what hurting, struggling, maybe even hard-hearted people that can be helped by you and me just giving a person a taste of grace. So remember that. I'm not going to be able to remind you of that every Sunday. And frankly, every Sunday it wouldn't work. People would say, well, yeah, you're just doing this because the preacher's going to ask in the sermon if you gave a taste of grace. So write it in your front of your Bible. Write it on a card and stick it in your Bible. Taste of grace. So you remember to do it. Rather than just coming in, plopping down late, and not interacting with anyone. But here we see in the life of Judah the difference between temptation, which he succumbed to in chapter 37 and 38, and trials, in which he was victorious. Now, this is an oversimplification of the difference between temptation and trials. First of all, did you know that they are from the same word? In both the New Testament, Greek, pyrosmos, and the Old Testament, Hebrew, masa. The word simply means a test. And so a temptation is a test. Trials are a test. Here's the difference. And again, it's an oversimplification. Temptations are designed by Satan to bring out the worst in us. Trials, on the other hand, are designed by God to bring out the best in us. Well, we've already seen the worst in Judah, encouraging his brothers to sell Joseph, falling into immorality with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. Now let's see the best as Judah correctly responds to the trials that come in his life. Notice, first of all, Judah and his brothers passed the test of jealousy. Remember with Joseph, that's the test they failed, wasn't it? The coat of many colors. Joseph telling them about his dreams, how their sheaves and would fall down and worship to his sheaf. They were jealous, murderously jealous of Joseph. Well, notice the last couple of verses of chapter 43, verses 33 and 34. And they sat before him, they the brothers, him, Joseph, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in amazement. How did these people know the order of our birth? I read in one commentary the statistical probability of getting all 10 of these brothers in the correct birth order. I forgot what it was. It was multiple millions to one. And so these guys are amazed, as the scripture says. Verse 34, portions were taken to them from Joseph's table, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. They passed the test of jealousy. These brothers formerly were jealous over this coat of many colors. Joseph gives them this test of, so now are you going to be jealous over the multiple portions that Benjamin receives over you guys? No implication or intimation in Scripture. But more importantly, they passed the test of loyalty. In the first 17 verses of chapter 44, Joseph once again loads down their donkeys with the grain, and they begin their way.